ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 37, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srinavan, Grinan, Sangsmarayan, Cha, Chintayan, Namani, Rupani, Cha, Mangalani, Te, Kriyasu, Yaha, Tvat, Charana, Aravindayoho, Avishta, Chetaha, Na bhavaya kalpate. Shrinvan grinan sangsmarayan chachintayan. Namani rupani cha mangalani te.
Namani rupani cha mangalani te.
Kriyasu yatvach charanaravindayor.
Kriyasu yatvach charanaravindayor.
Avishta chetana bhavaya kalpate. Shrinvan grinan sangsmarayanscha chintayan. Namani rupani cha mangalani te. Kriyasu yatvach charanaravindayor. Avishta chetana bhavaya kalpate.
Srinvan
grinan sangsmarayanscha chintayan. Namani rupani cha mangalani te.
Kriyasu yatvacharanaravindayor.
Kriyasu yatvacharanaravindayor.
Avishta chetana bhavaya kalpate.
Avishta chetana bhavaya kalpate. Srinavan. Constantly hearing about the Lord. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnoho. Grinan. Chanting or reciting the holy name of the Lord and his activities. Sangsmarayan. Remembering. Constantly thinking of the Lord's lotus feet. And his form.
And his form.
Cha. And. Chintayan. Contemplating the transcendental activities of the Lord. Namani. His transcendental names.
Rupani.
his transcendental forms.
Cha
also. Mangalani.
Mangalani.
Which are all transcendental.
Which are all transcendental.
And therefore auspicious.
And therefore auspicious.
Day of your lordship. Kriyasu. In being engaged in the devotional service.
In being engaged in the devotional service.
Yaha.
Yaha.
He who. Tvat. Charana.
Charana.
Aravindayoho.
Aravindayoho.
At your lotus feet.
At your lotus feet.
Avishta.
Avishta.
Chetaha.
Chetaha.
The devotee.
The devotee.
Who is completely absorbed. In such activities.
In such activities.
Not.
Bhavaya.
Bhavaya.
For the material
platform. For the material platform.
Kalpate.
Is fit. Verse translation. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform. And thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is prayers by the demigods to Lord Krishna within the womb of, who is in the womb of Devaki. Purport, how bhakti yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, yaha yasya hare dasye, by his activities, his mind and his words, karmana manasa gira, may stay in any condition of life, nikhil asvapyavasthasu, and yet is no longer actually conditioned, but is liberated. Jivan mukta sa uchate. Even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with this body, for he is transcendentally situated. Narayana para sarve nakutaschana bhibhyati. Because a devotee is engaged in transcendental activities, he is not afraid of being materially embodied. Illustrating this liberated position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahaituki Twai. All I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Even if a devotee, by the supreme will of the Lord, takes birth in this material world, he continues his devotional service. When King Bharat made a mistake and in his next life became a deer, his devotional service did not stop, although some slight chastisement was given to him because of his negligence. Narad Muni says that even if one falls from the platform of devotional service, he is not lost, whereas non-devotees are lost entirely because they are not engaged in service. What's that verse? Can anyone think? Srila Prabhupada quotes it twice, I believe, in the Bhagavad Gita as it is. No. Well, that has a similar purport, but this is another longer verse from Bhagavad. This Narad Muni says. Anyone? Tyaktva. There you go, there's the clue, but you didn't get it without the clue. Okay, say it now. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam hare bhajanda pakvo tapate yadi yatra kava bhadrama buddha musha kim kovarta artam bhajatam abhajatang swadharmata. Bhagavad Gita therefore recommends that one always engage in at least in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay, that's an easy one. What's that verse? Okay, say it. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas cha durdavrataha. namasyantascha mang bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. One should not give up the process of devotional service, which is performed in 9 different ways. Pada Sevanam, etc. is given here. The most important process is hearing, Shravanam, from the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, the spiritual master, the saintly acharyas and the Vedic literature. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya, Chitete, Korea, Aikya. We should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana. Vaishnava Mukhodgir. A Vaishnava. Mukhodgirnam. Putam. Harikatam ritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpo chishtam yatha payaha. We should strictly follow this injunction and never try to hear from mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians, or so-called scholars. Strictly avoiding such inauspicious association, we should simply hear from pure devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends, Sri Guru Padashrayaha. One must seek shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee who can be one's guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises that a guru is one who strictly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. And you probably won't guess what Prabhupada quotes next. He quotes, Jare Dekho Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh. A juggler, a magician, or one who speaks nonsense as an academic career is not a guru. Srila Prabhupada often uses the word juggler as to mean not a juggler means one who juggles balls in the air. But Srila Prabhupada uses it in the sense of word jugglery. Yeah. A juggler or magician or one who speaks nonsense as an academic career is not a guru. Rather, a guru is one who presents Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions, as it is. Shravana is very important. One must hear from the Vaishnav sadhu, guru, and shastra. The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon Krishna, specific to this word kriyasu. All our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he may also become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yas tvacharanaravindayoho. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. Ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama shrishtam vanamapi shachiputramatra swarupam rupam tas yagrajam urupurim maturim goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atath Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashaka Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you may have guessed that I spoke on this verse because here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses distribution of books about Krishna. And we see the books set of Srimad Bhagavatam is on the altar, which is, announces the beginning of the December marathon for distributing books. Actually, the books are worshipped by studying them. That's the standard system of worshipping the books. Srila Prabhupada writes here that by fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. So the term samadhi, you can understand from the verse. What is the word in the verse that we just read that corresponds with samadhi? Anyone? No? Avishta Cheta. Avishta means absorption. Cheta means consciousness. So that corresponds with samadhi. One's consciousness is absorbed. Samadhi, that is the topmost stage of the yoga system. Patanjali's Ashtanga yoga system. Of course, the word samadhi is not the property of Patanjali. It's there in other schools also, but it's become very famous, generally considered to mean that stage of consciousness where one has... Well, actually, according to Patanjali, you should stop thinking altogether. Yoga chitta vritti nirodha means to stop the... Yoga, Patanjali defines as stopping the vritti, the habit of the mind, or the activities of the mind. Of course, that can be understood also to mean to stop the polluted activities of the mind. But samadhi, general means that the mind is steady, fixed, absorption. And Srila Prabhupada equates that here with distributing his books. Now we may think, well, how can distributing books, which is, that's Srila Prabhupada has related that with the word kriyasu in this verse, which means to perform activities. And we think of the yogi sitting in meditation, he's not doing any activities. First of all, he wants to stop his physical activities by just sitting in one place. And then he wants to stop or severely curtail his breathing activities. There's one practice of pranayama, of rechaka, just holding the breath. So breathing becomes very slow or practically stopped, and then stopping the mind. That's the aim. But then, in the Ashtanga yoga system, but here, Srila Prabhupada equates the activity of distributing books with samadhi. So to get to that stage of yoga samadhi, one has to go through so many stages. Actually, even before doing all this breathing and all this, there's yama and niyama, which are meant the activities for controlling the senses. I don't think in these yoga schools anyone teaches that. They just teach some exercises and breathing. But that actually to practice yoga, one should follow a very moral life. That's the first consideration. The idea is that there has to be sense control. How can you sit down and meditate if you have so many desires to enjoy the senses? So you may think if one's active, that means engaging the senses. The karmendriyas, the organs of action, and definitely the gyanendriyas, the organs of cognition, they will certainly be engaged. Organs of cognition means gyanendriya. You just said it, so you don't have to retranslate it again. Perception. Organs of perception. Well, actually, perception and cognition are different words. Organs of perception is but closer. So how do we get sense control? And then what to speak of? The big thing that the impersonalists talk about is stopping the ahankar. So how are we going to get sense control? How are we going to control ahankar? In which we're trying to, in one sense, dominate someone. We're trying to get someone to do something which he didn't want to do or doesn't want to do, and what we want him to do. So it means dominating someone. So that's egoism. It seems like egoism, doesn't it? But actually, this distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, there has to be sense control. There has to do it very effectively over a long period of time requires samadhi, absorption in Krishna consciousness. It is possible to do it from the platform of egoism, or there can be some egoism there also. But one cannot continue to do so over a long period of time. It may be that someone by their nature, they have a very dominating and outgoing kind of personality where where they can overcome people's and in overcome people's minds and get them to give some money to buy the book. But unless one's situated in a sense of that, I'm doing this as a service to Krishna for the benefit of these people on the order of Srila Prabhupada, then Maya will attack in so many ways. Thinking that, why am I doing this? I'm a good salesman. I could make money for myself. Why should I bother selling these books? So actually, that absorption is required. Often devotees ask, well, what is the best way to distribute books? The best way to distribute books is to get up, go to Mangalarti, chant 16 rounds, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, do everything attentively, and pray to Krishna. Well, that's the formula, no material formula. It's a completely spiritual formula. In the mood of, let me take shelter of Krishna, praying for the mercy of Krishna. It's when I said that, well, it's one person's ego dominating another. It's not exactly like that. It may be if people are selling something else, aggressively selling something. Of course, there's so many salesmen and women at the side of the road selling sitafal and handkerchiefs and all kinds of things. But basically, they just wait till someone stops and they buy it. Or they may be interested to buy it. But and there's aggressive salesmanship also. So there's some domination. Domination doesn't necessarily mean that you shout at the person. Even the this door-to-door salesman trying to sell some kind of machine, maybe the house cleaning machine, vacuum cleaner salesman. They may do it in a charming way, knowing that that might work for them better than a overtly aggressive manner, but some pushing is there also. But a devotee, although he may say so many things and speak in so many ways, but he's praying to Krishna, that Krishna, you are within the heart of this person. They don't want this. That's why they're in the material world, like me. But I'm fortunate enough to have received these books and received this knowledge, and now you're kindly engaging me in your service. So please inspire this person to take this book. And it's not just praying, one has to speak, and it's quite intense. You can't just yawn and want a book. It doesn't work like that. It's intense. So that is the samadhi, absorption. Absorption in thinking of Krishna, and sense control must be there, because if we're thinking of Krishna, then we're not thinking of sense gratification. And if we are thinking of sense gratification, we're looking around, well, there's a sweet shop, and there's a sari shop, there's a gold shop. If we're looking around and thinking, that's kind of nice, I'd like to buy something in there, we might look and say, oh, there's a gold shop, I'll go there and sell some books. That's okay, that's fine. But if we're contemplating how I can enjoy, or we see, some people going on the road, they're young and they're very good-looking young couple, and I wish I was like them, something like that, then we can't distribute books. It requires Krishna's mercy, which comes from absorption in trying to serve him, which comes from praying to him, which it's a whole meditation. It's a different kind of meditation to the yoga meditation, in which you're just trying to shut out everything, including Krishna. Well, Ishvara Pranidhana is one of the parts of the yoga system of Patanjali, but it doesn't seem to... The point of Ishvara Pranidhana, or of absorption in God, doesn't seem to be stressed much by any teachers of yoga, either now or in the past, or at least in the traditional schools of yoga. Maybe there are some Sri Vaishnavas who traditionally practice that, so they must do that. So, yeah, it requires absorption, because it means going out into the great ocean of the material world. Going out means we go away from the Vaikuntha temple atmosphere. And one has to feel oneself apart. Not a part. If one feels I'm part of this world, then why will he want to distribute these books? He's moving among people who, they're a long way from Krishna. Kama, Krodha, Parayana. Well, they may not be full-fledged demons, but they're impelled by lust and anger, frustration, all these things. So a devotee, he moves among these people, but he's Padma Patrame Vambhasa, just like a lotus leaf is on the water, but the water doesn't stick to it. So a devotee moves in the atmosphere of the non-devotees, but he doesn't become victimized, he doesn't become part of that atmosphere. He can see very well how convincing Maya is, and prays to Krishna for protection. So in this way, he's absorbed. Sense control automatically comes. If one is thinking of the welfare of others, by giving Krishna consciousness, then automatically one will not think of sense enjoyment for oneself. So sense control automatically comes. And then a sense of compassion comes. As we're distributing books and we see people, here they are, people after so many lifetimes, they're getting the opportunity and they're trying to resist this way, that way, another way to receive Krishna. So a devotee develops compassion, thinking that these people are, they're so close to Krishna now, but now they're trying to avoid in various ways. And that also, by doing book distribution, then we become aware of our responsibility, that we're not just meant for being happy, singing and dancing. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy, Srila Prabhupada told us. So yes, we are happy, but we have a responsibility also to take the trouble to make others happy, to give them also the opportunity for Krishna consciousness. And responsibility also means even practically, materially, of course nothing in Krishna service is material, but in our dealings with the material world, we have to be focused and not, for instance, lose the keys of the van. We're supposed to be going out for distributing books, and we lose the keys. We can't find the keys of the van in which the party is supposed to go out. And why? Because we weren't conscientious. We weren't thinking how, we weren't focused how every little thing is meant for Krishna's service. So that's responsibility. These keys of the van, they're not just some little thing, they're very important. Because without that, we won't be able to take the van for distributing the books, and the books are also locked up in there. Proper sadhana has to be there. You can't just gossip with others let your mind wander here and there while we're chanting. We're not going to get the concentration, we're not going to get the power that comes from Krishna's mercy to go out and face the reluctant materialists for another day, day after day after day. Tolerance is required in preaching, because people say all kinds of nonsense things to avoid taking books. And they may behave with us in an improper way, and our own body may be protesting in various ways that we don't want to do. The mind is protesting, we don't want to do this, so we tolerate. Tolerance, that means tolerance in the sense that we don't become disturbed by what anyone says or does. We just go on with our book distribution service, because it quite often happens that people say things which are, they're actually trying to make you angry, because that's the pleasure of a very low-grade materialist, is that they want to say things which are deliberately meant to disturb the person's mind of who they're speaking to. You have to remain calm. How much money do you get for doing this? Ah, you're going to hell. Ave Maria, or Jesus, or whatever. So many things they'll say. You have to be tolerant. By doing this book distribution, seeing how people are suffering in very low consciousness, that also helps us to appreciate the devotees and their association. We may think, don't like that devotee, but then we see, even if we consider ourselves to be very exalted and others to be very low, which means most likely we're very low and they're very exalted. But anyone who's trying to serve Krishna sincerely, their position is so much better than that of any materialistic person, which we really come to appreciate by moving in that ocean of materialistic people. And that also going among the materialistic people that helps us to imbibe a sense of total dependency upon Guru and Krishna. Can we imagine Srila Prabhupada arriving in America, seeing all those big tall buildings, which he'd never seen any such big tall buildings before, and immediately understanding that this place is full of the lower modes of nature, and thinking, what am I going to do here? It's me alone, and there's the whole, this is the capital, the most powerful materialistic nation in the world, very confident about its materialism. And he prayed to Krishna, Tabe jadi toba kripa hoy ahoy tuki shakali shambhava hoy tumi sheiko tuki. I know, Krishna prayed to, sorry, Srila Prabhupada prayed to Krishna, I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. So how are we going to sell people books about how to get free from sense gratification when they're from the beginning of life, and not only this life, but life after life, that's all they've been taught, is that sense gratification is, that is life. We can't do it, but Krishna can make everything possible. And we pray to Krishna like that. Krishna and his mercy comes through the whole Guru Parampara. So we should know that in Srila Prabhupada's books, the teachings of... It's not that Srila Prabhupada just sat down and wrote something, but he consulted all the major commentators on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He himself, by being fully connected with his guru, was connected with all the previous gurus. There's a whole chain of command coming all the way down from Krishna. So we have a lot of good backing. We may seem that we're just out there in the ocean of material existence, but we have Krishna and the whole Guru Parampara, and they all want us to succeed in this endeavor to distribute books. So that will also teach us humility, that who am I? I've got this most precious gift, the Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Palam, the topmost ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. I'm not fit even to touch that. What to speak of, bring it to others. But somehow all the gurus, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, have engaged me. And humility, that will come. Also, that if we start to think, yes, I'm doing very good, I'm a good book distributor, then it's time for Maya to take over. Then we get smashed. And then we realize, I am not the doer. I can only be an instrument. I cannot do anything by myself. So all these things that we study and hear about, it's a practical practical application. It all comes to life in going out for this book distribution, this any material desires in the heart, then we realize how petty and meaningless they are compared to when we're actually out there and we're praying to Krishna, and the opportunity to give people this knowledge, and then whatever little petty desires we may have, we realize how petty they are. We become humble, and at the same time we become very strong and humble. It may sound like a strange mix, but all these, there are all these personality development seminars and all this. The best personality development seminar is to go out and distribute Prabhupada's books, and you'll become a strong personality, expert in dealing with others. Because it's required for distributing these books. Just like Arjuna, he's a pure devotee. Definitely he's the most humble. Otherwise, how can you be a pure devotee? But he was a very... It wasn't that he was just weak and fawning, but he was a very strong personality. He had to go out and kill others by the grace of Krishna. Oh, anyway, Krishna doesn't desire that at the present time. He desires us to distribute these books. But it requires strength of character to go and do that, especially to go and do it day after day after day. And it also teaches us how we need to study Prabhupada's books. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would ask his disciples questions from the books and they couldn't answer. And then Srila Prabhupada, if they couldn't answer, Srila Prabhupada would say, "See, these books are not meant just for your distribution. They're meant for you to read them." And especially here in India, you may find people who are quite learned in Shastra. And if they start to ask you questions, then what are you going to do? You have to know how to reply. I personally had there's a good experience once in Mantralayam, which is the place of Raghavendra Swami, very... well known in the Madhva Sampradaya, in Karnataka and Andhra Pradesh. So I went there and I wanted to sell them a set of Bhagavatams. That time we didn't have English Bhagavatams available and they're up to 5 cantos in Hindi. So that's all I had. So I wanted to sell them a set. And I went to the top people there and they grilled me. They took the position of Mayavadis and grilled me. And then they took the books because they wanted to see if I knew what was the philosophy. They wanted to say, otherwise, why should they take them? there may be so many instances like that. By studying these books, the teachings that are in those books come to life for us when we distribute them. Because then we can see the world through the eye of Shastra. It's not something theoretical. When we go out in that ocean of material existence to preach and distribute these books, we see people. But we don't just see them, we see them through the eye of Shastra. We see this person is struggling in the modes of nature. We see everything becomes alive. We see everything. What's described in the books, that's called realization. Seeing through the eye of Shastra is seeing that we understand, at least theoretically, and then realization comes. How miserable this material world, how illusioned everyone is. That also helps us to become free from the hypocrisy. It may be in certain services that a devotee, someone's a devotee, but they have some hypocrisy also. They may pose themselves as a very great devotee. You can't pose yourself as very great when you're going out to distribute. "Yes, I'm very great, you should take these books." And people, they won't take. Krishna won't inspire them to take any books. And there's no room for, there's no room and no opportunity for secretly engaging in illicit activities and there's no possibility because we have to be in clear, pure consciousness. So the hypocrisy in the name of devotional service, that can't happen for those who are dedicated to distributing books. And what does come out is our own conditioning. Then we come face to face with our own lower nature, realizing that I have to distribute these books. But I've got all this junk in my heart. It brings it out and we can see it. We can understand how conditioned I am. And again, we pray that at least at the time when I'm out there that Krishna helped me to transcend this so that I can serve you better by passing out these books. So it brings out our conditioning and forces us to look at ourselves. Where are we at? Am I really sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness? And so many times we'll become aware of the presence of Krishna in our hearts and in the hearts of others, that we'll be trying to distribute and we just can't do anything, and then we say, just something comes to our mind to say, and that makes the difference, and the person takes the book. In so many ways, we'll see Krishna's hand and we'll see Krishna everywhere, within our hearts, within others' hearts. Krishna's orchestrating everything. Those who go out to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, they won't become Mayavadi-type devotees, Sahajya-type devotees. It's a real grounding in reality. So these are some of the advantages. If we're thinking that I can, how can I best advance in devotional service? Here's a very good way. Go out and distribute those books. Krishna will help us and force us to come up in devotional service. So we may think that it's for the benefit of others that we distribute these books, but actually it's for our own benefit also. And we ourselves will get a taste for reading those books by distributing them. So there are a few, there could be so many things said. The benefits that we get from distributing these books. But I won't say anything more unless anyone wants to raise any question or add something more.
Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.